No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today we have legendary Detroit hip hop outfit Twisted in this bitch. How the fuck you guys doing?
Doing good, man. It's an honor to be here, man.
Yeah, no, thank you for having us, bro.
Honestly, yeah. It's legendary. I'm going to tell you guys that I've always known about you guys, always like heard the songs and stuff, but always was wondering exactly who you guys were. But then also, the other day, I went to a concert and I saw multiple people with gigantic Twisted fucking either back pieces or like massive chest tattoos.
That's crazy, right?
That sort of like might have like reignited my curiosity. I was like, I'd like to have a conversation with those dudes at some point.
That's awesome. Dope.
No, hey, shouts out to whoever had those chess pieces.
Right. Shouts out to the tat artists, man. Back piece and chess murals is pretty hip. I like that.
And they were deep in the mosh pit as well. It's like, it's not like they were shying away from the mosh. They were fully involved.
We don't usually roll with the wallflowers.
Yeah, no, hell no.
You know what I mean? Yeah, they get in there, they get dirty. That's one of the great things about our concerts. It's like, it's a hip hop show with mosh pits. You know what I mean?
Mosh
pit crazy.
Tendencies. Yeah, hell
it has that swagger and that audacity of hip hop, but it has that anger and that angst of rock and roll.
Right.
And I don't see nobody else really doing that.
Right.
Maybe because they think it's stupid. I'm not sure.
You shouldn't. It's a good time.
You always had that feeling that you were creating music for the disenfranchised, for the damaged out there?
Not in the beginning. In the beginning, we were just doing what we loved. Mm-hmm. And then to find out, you know what I mean, that there was this humongous family of people.
That you were just going to happen to naturally sort of fit this void for?
Right, absolutely. That's not what we got in it for. But to know that that's what it is now, it's become so much bigger than me and Jamie. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
It's well beyond us. And to be a part of something like that, to be a part of what started something like that, what solidifies something like that, man. Nobody can take that from us.
To be a part of the voice of a generation.
Right.
Like a movement that physically happened and man, to be where we are today.
Right.
What was your relationship before you started rapping together, or how did that unfold in the very, very early days?
We were friends since way back in the days. You know what I mean?
The first time I met him, ironically, was in a boys' club. You know what I mean?
He
was
the Boys and Girls Club? Yeah.
He was probably like 8 or 9.
There was a lot of shit going on in the Boys and Girls Club, I'm going to be honest with you. I was hitting the Boys and Girls Club, and I learned about a lot of shit there.
Me too. Yeah. It wasn't crazy like church, you know, where you got a risk of being touched or whatever. But
in comparison to like Sunday school, you were finding out some shit.
Because you were around older kids too. It was like an integrated high school. Like kindergartners are around the seniors, and you just heard.
True.
It was crazy.
Right. But it was an after school program kind of thing, so everybody was just like there to turn up and play video games, because in the hood you couldn't afford a ColecoVision at the time, but they had one there, and there's like this long ass library line. Everybody's waiting to play. What was it? The one where you swing across with the fucking alligators?
Pitfall
and shit like that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
We're old as shit.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Man. No, recognize. Hell yeah.
I'm 35. How old are you guys?
Older than you.
Older than you. That's the greatest answer in the world, right? Older than you.
Older than you.
Real talk.
My OGs.
Yeah, man.
If it wasn't for this makeup, I don't know what would have happened right now.
Shit is primarily at this point in your life, you're still wearing the makeup just to hide your aging.
No, it's to stand out, man.
It's a double-edged benefit, man.
It's like right now, if you took 50 of the hottest rappers that you could think of in us and you put them on a stage, we're going to stand out.
Very
you know
much
what I mean?
True.
It's
and
true.
We needed that look that fit our sound.
Right. You know what's crazy, though? The other day, I was watching a bunch of you guys' music videos, and then it started to autoplay this Denzel Curry video.
Right.
He's wearing the face paint. And I'm like, the YouTube algorithm knows that I've just watched a bunch of videos from some rappers who wear face paint, and now they're giving me a rapper who doesn't normally wear face paint but is wearing in this video.
Right.
That's fucking crazy.
Right.
It's the fucking government. They're watching. I'm telling you.
I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. It's not like you guys and Denzel Curry are so sonically similar. You're not from the same generation. The only similarity is the face paint.
It was.
Shouts out to Denzel, though.
He is fire. Very talented.
Fire, man.
Golly.
Fire. Tech got makeup on in the new video. You know what I mean? It's,
for sure.
It's funny how me and Jamie are held to a different standard than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When we do it, we're just two guys trying to hide behind makeup. When everybody else do it, oh, look, he looks cool, he looks this or whatever. And it becomes something where you don't even listen to our music. You judge right off the bat. You're like, oh, they got me.
It's that prejudge.
But
man,
Denzel
right
comes
cut.
Out with it, And it's not a problem.
Right, but you know he doesn't do it all the time, so it felt more like artistic when
that's
he did
what,
it.
You yeah, 100%.
This is a statement about, you know, it's kind of...
it's like outside of his comfort zone to try to be...
Right. I wonder what he's seen that made him be like, you know what? I'm painting my face for this.
But that song in particular, I think, is about the way that rappers are sort of held up as this like joke that like suburban kids can basically just like have fun laughing at your demise. And I think that that's why he was rocking the face paint, was sort of to like represent that. If I'm not forgetting the symbolism.
That's America, man. Yeah. They love to tear you down. You know what I mean?
It's true.
They'll build you up, but they have much more fun bringing you down and tearing you down.
Right.
Absolutely.
And kids love seeing rappers make choices and live their life in such a way that it's untenable. Like, they love to see you with, you know, with guns and drugs, and they love to see you like doing all kinds of fucked up shit. Those are the rappers that a certain percentage of rap fans are just going to gravitate towards because of that fact.
Right. Because it's so far removed from the world that they were brought up in, they're enamored by it. But it was like, when we came up, you rapped to get out of the fucking hood. You ain't rap to get back in the trap.
Now it's backwards. Now it's like,
and now you got kids going platinum, selling 5 million singles digitally, blowing up, and going back to the trap house. It just don't make sense to me, these false senses of pride that they think they need to, I need to still be in that circle. And that's why we're losing people at a rapid rate, man.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of truth to that. So talk about the scene in Detroit that you guys came up out of. And do you think it was a particular like inspired time? Because like in that however many years span, you can point to a whole lot of legendary shit, both on an underground level and people who broke out of that world. Mm-hmm.
Right. It was real cutthroat in the beginning. You know what I mean? Nobody was helping anybody.
Right.
Everybody was out for themselves. And we, you know, us being the beginning guys, we got to see the real of everybody. You know what I mean? Before they got to hide behind the curtains or whatnot. And just how a lot of people treated us was like, are you fucking serious, dude?
But it was something to be said about going and like promoting clubs and putting flyers on cars and seeing Kid Rock doing the same thing. So we knew we were in the pocket of whatever this is going to be. This was
Kid Rock when he wasn't shit too, right?
This is grit sandwiches and champagne or whatever it was.
This is before
he was like,
I'm going to release a record every 2 months until I signed a deal.
It was before a bow with a bow.
Yes. And the thing was though, but it was like he was cool though. It's like everybody on that portion, like all the rappers kind of were like, when you've seen each other, it was like kind of a respect thing. But then and behind the scenes, it was kind of like everybody hated each other. And that's weird too.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was always weird. It was a very weird scene coming up in and trying to find your place in. You know what I mean?
Detroit's a weird place in general, right?
It is. Oh, for real. Yep. For real.
There's still no mall in Detroit. Is that not crazy?
What happened to Eastland? Like, Eastland ain't no
that
more?
Ain't in Detroit.
Probably because they know it's going to go down.
That
there.
Ain't in the city.
He's got a point. That wasn't Harper Woods, wasn't it? Yep. God damn.
No major mall in the city.
But they're not building any new malls because all the malls are being turned into like office spaces and like outdoor shopping centers.
It seems like downtown Detroit's got this more like a posh kind of vibe. They're like, we'll put up a casino in a couple of these, you know, well-to-do places.
Right. But
and
it's like if you ain't coming from
outside of that, it's like hell, you know what I mean? Right. And then inside, it's like you got to go through hell to get to this little cool.
Unless you're coming from Canada, right?
Yeah, unless you hop on that express bridge and you get right in there. Right. You know what I mean?
But you guys are coming up out of the struggle. Like, was your upbringing like really, really rough? And how were you guys friends in the first place before rapping?
Like, well, the friend part of it was the boys' club thing. It was interesting
story.
That was the meeting part, and we came to find out that we had a common friend between and another guy named Brian, who was the third dude in House of Crazy is our original group we were in. We started hanging out with each other. You got to hang out with this dude. He likes rap music and he likes comic books. And you got to hang out with this dude. He likes, you know, baseball cards and rap
music.
I'm
like, who is this dude?
He's like, who is this fat kid you keep talking about? And then
we went over there and it was cool. It was on. I mean, I've known this dude like 35 years.
And then when I seen him, I'm like, he's the guy who saved me in the rompous room.
Right. I didn't put that together.
I was a fat kid building forts in this rompous room. And they had these big ass, like, they were like foam mats you could throw a motherfucker on, like, if you were doing jujitsu,
right?
And me and a couple of the kids, the nerds, we were building mazes. And you'd go in there, and like these other, you know, the senior kids would come in there and crash them all. And he's like, "Hey, leave that fucking fat kid alone." And I'm like, "I'm a hero." Yeah, no, you know, just the fact that he was chill like that and everything. And that's kind of that when it came over my house, I'm like, I know you. You're cool as fuck. That's crazy. You just get that first impression from somebody, and you know they have good intentions, and you can like see right into them.
And isn't it great to be a kid? Because I'm going to be honest with you, sure. It's very hard to make a friend at this point in my life because it seems like everybody's got ulterior motives. It's
too much politics.
I need to have like a business relationship with you or something that we're doing together that gives me a reason for us to be in each other's lives.
To talk to you every day.
But if you're 14 and you're into rap and you're into comic books, then we have more than enough to go on our friendship goals. Here.
Yeah, man.
Girls are next.
For real.
Girls are next. Yeah.
Right.
That was the steps, man. For real.
Yeah. You're down to fight somebody with me? No. All right. There you go. If you're not a pussy and you're down to get it in, if somebody's going to try to fight me, then we're best friends. It's over.
We're going to kick their ass and we're about to get beat up together. That's going to suck.
That's how it is. You drop the ball, man, for your homies, man.
Where we came from, though, man, it was rough as fuck.
Yeah.
Absolutely rough as fuck. You go there now, you know, and it's two houses on the block. But a fucking $70,000 Escalade.
Really?
In one of the driveways, you know what I mean?
Like, really?
They just bombard it. It's like third world over there.
Mm-hmm.
But, man,
Growing up, it was like there was a crew of us, though. There was like a clique of all of us that hung out together. And as time progressed, we noticed how people started falling off and going their own ways, and some went to jail, and some went to college, and some went to the cemetery.
Didn't go to college. They all went to jail and a cemetery.
You know, I was trying to give a ray of hope in the goddamn story, but you know what I mean. I was hoping that some of the people that we haven't talked to actually went on and did something, but you know.
But so the area that you're from is a total slum now?
They're still trying to rebuild so they got new businesses over there, mm-hmm. but somebody just got murdered over there over some Jordans like a week ago.
Really? Jordans?
Jordans. Some motherfuckers still killing people over Jordans.
Holy shit.
I was going to say, that's so last year. Is that classic? Is that tacky to say? Like, goddamn, man, what the fuck is going on?
My life.
We can't get our own shoes?
Being born until the day we created Twisted is fucking crazy as shit, as opposed to Twisted till right now.
Right.
Completely different worlds. Houses getting shot up on the streets, thugging out, being crazy.
And you started the group at what age?
Well, how old?
I want to say.
It was his idea. I was done with it. He was like, hey, man, I got an idea.
Uh-huh. I do, man.
And I was like, let's see what happens.
The fat kid's got a plan, man. We're going to do this demo tape and pass it along to these guys, and we're going to see what happens.
What year do you think that was that you guys started making shit together? 97,
98. 98 was the first year we brought out Most Tasteless. In 93, we were doing House of Crazies.
Right.
So that's like the window from between when it went from House of Crazies to Twisted with Most Tasteless in 98.
Right.
And the progression of that and how we learned and the things that we learned and picked up behind the scenes. And that was just, we thought we knew some shit, but that was like the beginning of what would become fucking oodles and oodles of information.
Right.
And intel that would make the people that you see today or the people that you hear today or whatever when people hear our shit.
Yeah.
It's been a long ass journey, man, for real.
And we walked it.
We did.
You know what I mean?
No magic carpet rides. We paid dues. We paid dues harder than any fucking people ever paid dues.
We paid attention.
Name something. Name a fucking gig in the industry. We've done that job. And I'm proud to say that because if you do that job, then you don't have no problem telling somebody else. Like, we've loaded. We've been stagehands. We've fucking done laundry.
So you're talking before the group took off, you guys were doing all the grunt work.
Yeah, we load in, load out, do the laundry.
Yeah, nowadays motherfuckers come in on carpet rides and it's like, you know, oh, I paid dues. It's like, Did you though? Because I remember a time when it wasn't that easy, and people really had to get in the trenches to prove your love. Show me your dedication. Show me you got what it takes. Or maybe the other side of that coin would, how hard can I push this motherfucker?
Right. Here's an opportunity.
It could have been that. It could have been that too. Like, how?
But
you know?
Instead of just being like, here's the opportunity, mm-hmm. I'm gonna run you through the ringer.
Yeah, right. I mean,
and either you deal with it and accept your opportunity, or you fall to the wayside and lose that.
But I'm proud to say that we did, though.
I'm proud to say we did.
We stuck it out like motherfucking troopers. Like, you could have called me at 2 o'clock in the morning and be like, I need you to be fucking duct taped to the side of a NASA plane. We going to Mars tonight. Be ready. I'm like, hey man, we gotta go to Mars and shit.
Right.
Be at my house at 9. Like, it was just. Done.
It's good to be from the grizzle like that because, you know, I know a lot of rappers who, you know, they get signed and then they get sent on a promo tour, and to them, they cannot wrap their head around the idea of going and play a bunch of shows for free and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's really all about what you set your standard for, because if you come in the game and you're getting fucking 20 grand a show and you just start fucking living that, then of course you're never going to see the value in the promo thing because you're fucking, you got used to a much more, you know, pampered version of what it is to be an artist. It's cool to hear you guys talk about coming from
also,
loading shit. That's like the very most entry
point.
It's like, you know?
I feel it makes us humble, and it made us humble. That's why we excuse me, don't take for granted the shit that we get, be it stature or, right. or comeuppance or however you say it. It's like, because we feel that it's part of the evolution of getting here. It just makes it all the more better of a person. And then plus, if we look for those jobs or whatever, like I said, you know, if someone's like, I can't do that. It's like, you know what? Not only can you do that, but we did that. And then we would go perform and then we would load out. Like, you know what I mean?
So not everybody can hop on a bus and go for 3 months.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
It's true.
So the people that are around you are just as important as you.
Right.
So if you're just out there shitting on these guys, you know, treating them like garbage, it's going to reflect in some way, shape, or form in your show.
It's not
going to
last long.
No, we don't want that.
If you're making a bunch of money or you have an operation going and you're not treating the people that are around you fairly, it's going to catch up to you.
Absolutely. We try to surround ourselves with a good circle of people that, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, that are seriously down for the cause. This ain't about Twisted. This is about a movement that's been going on underground for a long time.
And when you lose that is when it becomes hard to keep like a team together, is when you lose that initial inertia of like, this isn't just a money-making operation. This is a movement. This is about something important.
Right, right.
And you, a lot of times, you know, you'll originally have that group of people who are fucking with it to the extent that they just want to be part of it.
Right.
But then a lot of times, what is a movement devolves into a business.
Yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, man.
And that's how you kind of find out who's there for the paycheck and who's there for the movement. You know what I mean? It's just through time. Right. Time and opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's no all. Doubt. We feel like we've been like that, so we don't think it's out of the question to have other people like that.
Absolutely. I was going to say, I like the fact that the people that I know that are down for us, in the same regard that we were down for our people before us, and so on and so forth, you know, the begats of the begats of the begats.
Right.
To show that love and that ride or die mentality. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm here for you. You have to succeed. I'm coming with you.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. When we got a deal, we actually had another guy in our group.
It's true.
Really? You were a three-piece?
Yeah, yes. We were a three-piece.
Twice.
And, right.
Twice,
and
then we told them,
we're going to get this deal, and you're the first one. We're coming back. And I know everybody says that, and they never do that.
But we
actually did that shit. We went and got everybody that we could from the hood because we told them, hey, you need rappers? Know rappers. Mm. We know rappers for days.
That was the first time around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When we came that way. And then the second time around when we were building our own our own imprint,
right?
You know, we came back for motherfuckers again. Mm. And we're like, look, man, you know, come with us or do you want to be a part? Or people were reaching out like, hey, man, I want to be down. It's like, it's a no-brainer. You've been with us throughout your life. You know what I mean? Like, for example, like Blaze.
Right.
You know what I mean? And shit like that. Isn't the same, you know.
It's more than talent. You know what I mean?
It really is.
It's such a character-based industry that if a person's character is flawed, I don't give a shit who you are and how talented you are.
Right.
Either, A, you have a time that, believe me, it's going to catch up to you, or you will never get that airplane off the ground. Never.
Right.
Attitude is everything.
So when when you guys get signed, and how far did you get before you got signed? And what was the first time
signed?
What was that like?
We would have got signed. We would have got signed in what, 98?
Like, I would say late 97, early 98. We got our first, like, real deal from somebody that was doing it on a national level.
Mm-hmm.
And we just shut the fuck up and listened and watched and learned.
I think that was the smartest thing we could have done, you know?
That we could. Mm-hmm. Every meeting, anytime there were, you know, hushed talkings in the court, we listened and watched everything.
Mm. It's true.
Because the last thing we wanted to be is just some coattail riders.
Absolutely.
We want to come in, be low maintenance, take care of business, and make those people fucking proud, right? Them people some money so they're like, hell yeah, these are our dudes.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? And that's what it was. And then we signed with fucking Def Jam and Island. And none of that really mattered.
Island Def Jam, yep.
What did they do with you? Did they, like, manage to get
any distribution?
It was a pressing and distribution deal for Most Tasteless. They took one of our original records, and then we re-released it with, like, five or six extra additional songs on a national
basis. Best thing to come
out
of them deals is fucking Lior Cohen brings me and him into his office, and he's like, you two motherfuckers can rap. And I was like,
that's
hell,
cool,
yeah.
though, right?
I don't give a fuck what y'all do from this point on. Don't matter. That was such a stamp to us.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Like, that's what's up, man. Thank you for that.
That's rare hip hop history right there.
It's crazy,
that was crazy, man.
It's fucking crazy.
Very crazy.
Hell yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. That's
surreal, almost. Like, did he just say that? But so wait for him to take off the mask, and it's the custodian.
But wait, so you guys didn't, like, get shelved in your whole early label drama? You, like, signed, and then it sucked, and then you got out of the deals? Is that how it went? Or you swapped around?
When it came to, I guess, national record labels like an Island or a Def Jam, they just didn't understand what we were trying to do. They didn't understand the integrity that we wanted to maintain. It was just like, fucking, who gives a fuck what your fans think? Just do it. Everybody else does it, and they're making money off of it. And we're like, we have a different relationship.
What kind of stuff were they trying to get you to do, though?
Oh, man, just whatever you
Chinese
see,
suits?
Take that.
Put it like that.
I knew where you was going with the shit. No, I know. I was like,
trying to think of what I would want you to do, or what a label would have wanted at that time.
When we signed to the first deal, they sent our entire record back on paper, typed out. All these lines crossed out.
Just certain lyrics.
Certain lyrics they wanted. They wanted either suggestions, removed or
maybe you could
backwards.
Say this instead of that. And we put that shit back in and returned to the center. It's like, you either take this or you don't get shit.
But you have to think about where we came from, and at that point, and it was like, you know, they could have said, to be blatantly honest, they could have been like, take that song off. We were like, fuck yeah, man. You know, we wanted to get that, you know?
We had our ground. We're like, you ain't editing us. Not at all. We were edited before you, will not be edited after you. And you know what I mean?
You guys had the face paint at this point, though?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So yeah. That was always a part of it.
Not always.
Oh. Not always.
No, because in the beginning, that was like one thing we were like, don't do that. Because we're already with two dudes that are painted up,
right,
rapping about the wicked shit. It's like motherfuckers are just going to think we're some coattail riders. Like, right, we want to bring something to this shit. So for a long time, we just tried other things because we knew we had to look more than normal.
Right, you know, so you were with ICP, but you hadn't gotten 100% on board with constantly painting your face, or did the ICP thing came later?
We were like, no.
So that was from day one?
Day one.
Oh, okay.
Since day one, yeah. Yes. When we signed with them, we went through a bunch of different, like, evolutions
of
what we should be to, you know, for how the act and the gimmick would go.
And he did it. One day he just came out of the bathroom on some fucking shit. What do you think? And I was like, oh my, you motherfucker. Dude,
in terms of what?
So
just doing
dope.
All white with the eyes blacked?
We would put baby powder on our face and I sweat profusely and it would cake up and it was just not a good look. It was like this, like, paste. My bad. I'm set, bro.
You got them loaded.
Yeah, man, baby. I'm feeling right. I know my limitations. Yeah.
Don't drive home.
Yeah, I'm not. But Jesus Christ. Yeah, right. The guy who took that rip and hit the showcase. Going through evolutions of our shit, you know, we finally just decided that shit didn't look right, and rather than just have it be pasty,
I could have handed it to. I don't know why I'm acting like they're invisible.
I felt like they needed it at that. I hadn't really thought of it like that before.
Sorry, guys.
Hell yeah, but so it was just I want to say it was kind of a no-brainer to just try to put use makeup in place of the baby powder because you can sweat through the makeup and so instead of looking like
we can hop in swimming pools like this and come out looking
the
same.
You don't have the problem where, like, because when I wore it on when I did my ICB interview, I did the full clown paint and I wasn't sure if, like, there's better quality face paint because it was coming off of my fingers.
It's got to be like that grease based.
Yeah,
it's like, you know what I mean.
One of them was Miron. That's a good company. They got it's where you can sweat through it. It doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, some of the shit runs off and drips on your clothes and fucks it all up and shit.
Right.
I mean, if you really look at our makeup of people that paint their face, like, there is an art. Me and him, we don't fuck around. Like, we don't want you to see any mistakes in it. Like, we really take it serious. He's the artist, though.
But I always found you guys. Oh, wait, so you'll paint him as well?
No. You keep your goddamn hands to yourself.
No, I'm fucking with you, but it's like, that's part of the process. It's part of the transformation.
He's the artist, and I'm not a moron, so you know what I mean? But he can be like, he can really do some crazy shit, man.
For sure.
That's
for
awesome.
Sure. No, it's fun.
I just always found you guys interesting because I remember when I realized that you guys had, like, videos where you'd be showing your actual face and then the face painted version, which is very different than ICP, who are just, like, always painted pretty much.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because we always try to keep, you know, like, at the same time, This is like an extension of us. They're still Jamie and Paul, and it's like Jamie and Paul are funny cats. We were in some of their movies and shit like that as a Big Stank and Little Poot and different comical aspects of us. Mm-hmm. So
we're
it's
just
cool.
Silly ass
it's
dudes
like diversifying
naturally.
Your bonds. You know what I mean? It's like, and no one's, you know, like, to be able to. This is twisted. You know what I mean? There's different layers to it, like an onion, you know, like different.
And I hate onions, but I love us.
But you know what I'm saying?
I don't like onions, man. I don't know why.
Just, like, you go get a Philly cheesesteak with no onions, it's almost kind of like sacrilege.
I love a good onion.
Fuck with the onions.
Get the whiz on it.
Yeah, man, I don't know.
And you can't do, you know how they do you wrong. You know, they'll bring your shit out. It's got the onion on it. You're like, oh, man, I really don't want to be an asshole, but I can't eat that. Can you get... And they just take the onion off, and it still tastes like onion. Oh, I can't even do that.
When I think about onions, I think about eating a steak, and there's a bunch of, like, you know, just big chunks of onion, and I'm, like, cutting off a piece of the steak and just jamming the big chunk of onion in. Like, that's the only thing that's entering my mouth besides the actual meat.
Right.
But somehow that additional texture just really adds to it, and you're going to puke. Yeah, you don't like that.
I was like, do you fuck with sautéed mushrooms? Like,
oh, that's what I'm saying.
Any vegetable, really, but onion's a good one.
I'm good with the mushrooms.
Oh, yeah, on the side, go like
peppers, onions, anything.
Yeah. Got it. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just always been like that. Something about onions.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck you, onions.
But it's weird for me, too, because, you know, when I think about onions, I think about bunions.
Really? Man, I used to know this girl, like one of the first girls I used to talk to, she would eat an onion like an apple.
Oh, my God.
Like holy shit.
And that's why we ain't kicking no more.
That, honestly, like, that says amazing, a lot about where you guys are coming from. Like,
I'm telling
you. The bitches were eating onions by hand
like
out there.
Like an apple. I was like, is that it? At first, right I thought there. It was, and she was like, I'll eat a potato like that, dude. I was like,
look,
I'm out.
Straight in the face. Your shit a little tart,
game
too.
Game over. There's nothing you could do about that.
Holy shit.
Nothing, but, yeah, that was crazy.
You know, when you think about it, when you're growing up, you were fucking some whack ass chicks. You were smoking some really shitty weed.
Yep.
You were drinking nasty ass alcohol. Everything was
but it's your
trash
first.
Quality.
But it's
you,
your
but
first.
You didn't know,
so
yeah.
Mentally, like,
it was
so,
the best.
So that's the real question. Does your mental portion play into that? Is there more factor of that?
Absolutely.
Like,
that's why I
watched
House
shit?
Party 35 times a month.
I remember.
You know what I mean? Because
it's
like
smoking cigarettes and getting a buzz off of that, and now it's like feeling high. You got lightheaded. You
that
know
still
what I'm
works
saying?
For me. I could still smoke a cigarette and get a fucking little brain high.
I remember saying that
so long, if I did,
as soon
I
as they stop
would.
Getting me high, I'm done smoking.
Once in a while, I'll be drunk and I'll just grab. If I'll grab somebody's American Spirit, and I don't know what the fuck it is about those things, but they're just so much more dense than like a Marlboro Light. Oh, and I'll smoke an American Spirit while I'm already like a few drinks in, and I will just
you're
be like, "Holy shit, I got
Spirit, bro! Fuck yeah,
that'll do it.
I'll feel you on that.
I don't know what it is. You guys aren't smokers though, not cigarette smokers.
It used to be. Oh my God, completely.
You guys quit together.
No.
Nope. He quit like probably like 4 years before me.
I think so. Yeah. Yep. Uh-huh. Yep. Mine was on some doctor shit. It was like, you know, handle your business. You're about to be an adult, you know, ride it out. So it was like, yeah. But then
my son was like, come on, man. He was like six. And he was like, you know, you go outside fucking eight times a day. What's up, man? We're playing a game. You got to leave.
How much
leave.
Of an addiction it is until you it's step back in hindsight
on.
And look at it.
And I made him a deal. I was like, you quit sucking your thumb. I quit smoking cigarettes. We'll do it right now. And that's what it was.
Really?
Word. Yeah.
Oh my God. And you can't like let your kid down like that.
No, man. No, right.
No. Still
there is no.
Up.
And I, you know, yeah. I'm like, oh man, there's no falling off the way you. Stay really? Strong, fella.
No, for real. It's tough, too. When you're addicted to shit, in whatever it may be.
But anybody that wants to quit, you could do it, believe me.
You can.
And it takes about 3 weeks to a month. And you'll even forget what it takes. Tastes like
it takes willpower, man. Yeah. That's what the fuck it takes. It takes willpower.
Yeah.
And a good support group of motherfuckers that want to see you succeed. Don't surround yourself with people that don't want success for you.
Yeah.
Flat out. You know what I mean? If you got a solid group of people around you,
you're probably gonna be lonely.
Hey man, real talk. But if you got supportive people around you and you got willpower, you can pull that shit off. That's anything.
Right.
That's anything. I don't care what the fuck you're on. I don't care if it's meth or amphetamines or fucking cigarettes. Or bubble gum. Maybe you like the sweets too much.
Right.
Maybe you're diabetic and you
shouldn't
have.
You were never on the meth?
No.
My last name is Meth Rick.
You did, for real.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I keep it real. I ain't mad at you,
motherfucker ain't trying no goddamn
thing.
Yes,
I did.
No. No, man, I ain't judging this story. Yeah. I don't know this motherfucker
I ain't judging
like that.
Nobody.
Listen,
I'm just saying.
I'm just meeting
all I can say is I've done drugs in my life with porn star bitches from the valley that
yeah,
I have not
talk.
Done in any other scenarios throughout my life. I never did GHB besides with these hoes either. So
situational drug use.
I'm over here day rape drugging myself.
I understand it.
Yeah.
Right. I've woke up with my hand out my own pants many a times.
Yeah.
Nothing I can do about that. I just blame it on the cap.
Oh,
yeah. There's something in this cap,
if
man.
If you remove girls from the equations, I probably wouldn't have done any drugs in my life.
But
I blame
the
hoes for all that shit.
I swear to God, man, I learned that because there was, he's not lying. When we grew up, there was like 30 of us in the hood. There was a pack of 30 and we would meet all, you know, you go out and meet a pack of girls, right? And I would just sit back and watch how these guys interacted and all the things that they would do and watch how guys would play themselves for these broads. And these broads are just like, ah, whatever. So I would just sit back, and I learned that early, man. Never play yourself for nobody. You know what I mean? And it'd be like that. A girl bring out a bunch of coke, and I'm like fucking 15 years old, 14 years old. And I'm like, see ya. You know what I mean? It just ain't my thing. I ain't about to do it for you, but for nobody. But at
that age, that's a major fork in the road. It's like, do I be cool or do... Right. Or if I go with the opposite, how far more am I going to get? You know, right. Like, how longer down the road am I going to get? You know? Right.
It's a big decision.
It really is, especially how we came up. Like, you really had this. That, to make it out of where we made it out, bro, it's just crazy. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's more amazing than a lot of things. But
when did you start to feel like you actually had like made it in any sense?
We still don't feel like that.
Really?
I'll keep it real.
Never felt financially like comfortable enough to kind of feel like you had solidified yourself?
I mean, we ain't worked a job in motherfucking 20 years, you know what I mean? But it's never to the point where we lost that hunger.
It's, there's no comfortability. You gotta have that hunger and that drive.
We can mail this one in.
Or, like, or times when maybe the situation isn't as you know, it's unsavory or something like that.
You're right,
like,
we got houses. We bought our people's houses and shit like that, but we'll never... I don't want to be like that because I think when you do get that kind of fiscal stuff, you know what I mean? You become complacent. You start forgetting.
We've seen it happen to other people. So that's why. It's like we've seen that happen to other people where they just, mellow out, tap out, level out. Level out, man.
You ate. You fed your belly. You know what I mean?
But it's like, and they just like, bam, I'm good. I don't need anything outside of life. And a lot of things like the work drive. Because
that's all they're in it for. It's money.
And in our, at least in my state of mind, your state of mind, you stay in that zone, you keep working, you know what I mean? You stay through, like, not every situation is going to be great, you know what I mean? Right.
Yeah, we done some crazy shit.
But the people that come out and show up for you and rep for you and stand in line for you and want autographs from you and rep your shit and wear your shit, those are the people, those are the reasons why we do it. Those are the reasons why we get on stage and sweat it out for them and rock it out like it's my fucking 98 in this bitch, because this is who the fuck we are. This is who we plan to be this day forward, you know?
What's your perspective always been on your fan base? Because it's like you guys have always been known as the second most popular Juggalo outfit until obviously you guys left, and we can get to that at some point. Okay. But like you guys, it's kind of interesting because the Juggalo has always been known as like one of the most rabid fan bases in hip-hop. And then you guys were just sort of like, we've seen a lot of different rappers who sort of like at certain points sort of appealed to that audience and it helped their career. But you guys were always like the second in command, known as those dudes. Like, so how did it feel to like one day just to like have that fan base be developing around like what you guys were doing?
I would say appreciative, because it's like in the start, that was the biggest thing we wanted a lot, was just to be heard. And then when we got heard, it was like it's like a drug. You know what I mean? You're in the zone now and you want to go further. It's like, now we're heard. What if we're known? And then if we're known, what if we're famous? And if we're famous, what if we're legendary? And if we're legendary, what if fucking when we're dead, people still have our shit and it's you know, it's worth money, or it's you know what I mean? It's fucking Beatles shit. It's like, it's a thought process, but if, like I said, if it keeps you in the zone to keep you, you know what I mean? That's what I think.
I forgot what y'all were talking about.
No. I was like,
should I not roll another one? Let him talk.
No.
Should I roll another one?
I mean, fuck it. I'm riding with y'all, man. We're doing this exclusive.
I was just talking about the fans.
We have our fans, our family, that's what we call them. That's our fam.
And one of y'all got a motherfucking water or something?
And there's nobody like them at all.
I thought he pulled out some cocoa nugs. I was about to be like, bless me up with something. My mouth is drier than a motherfucker.
Put it up.
Do not, you about, oh, see. Ooh, baby.
He's gonna switch out the cookies for the
for the caramel apple.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Damn. It's fun. It's dessert time. We've had our meal.
Golly.
It's going down. It is. You made it, man. We're smoking big dope.
Hey,
you made it,
motherfucker.
Yeah,
we sitting here with you, so by you making it, I guess we kind of know a motherfucker that made it.
I'm hanging out with Twisted. I get to learn about Twisted face to face, so I feel kind of like it too.
Hey, real talk. That's awesome. No, we see you out there, man. You're on the same grind, too. You got the struggle with you, too. It's just in a different lane. You know what I mean?
I think as a YouTuber, unless you get to the point where you're getting like millions of views on every single video, that you kind of like by definition have to have the like struggle, like hustle mentality. Absolutely. Because you're sort of like back up against the wall. And reality is if I don't make any videos for 2 weeks, I'm going to be getting a shitload of comments on me. I fell off. And yeah. if I don't make any money, or if I don't make any videos for a month, I'm going to be getting a shitload of comments telling me I fell off. So it's like you kind of constantly need to be like proving to the world like what your value is.
And not only that, you got fucking 25 other people that want your spot.
Mm-hmm.
25 other people that are waiting for you to stop making them videos, that are waiting for us to stop making, doing what we do, that want our spot. And it's like, no, you won't. We work too goddamn hard to just be like, here's our spot, by just kicking back and being lazy.
That is such a weird thing to think that a fan, like that fandom in some senses is so permanent and hardcore, and in some senses is this supposed to be for
that's
me?
You guys can that's the one we can all piss it at. The
that's
end.
The one with the Molly in it.
Oh my god! Yeah, leave that one over there. All right, no,
man. There's nobody. We've toured with all kinds of people, right? And I'll tell you one thing: is that every other band that we've ever toured with, 90% of their fans don't come and check them out, right? We can go play with anybody, and our people will be there regardless. We're like, we're going to do something crazy. We're playing with Travis Tritt today.
No, absolutely.
Come out and see
us. Who is Travis Tritt?
He's a country
guy or something?
I was going to say, he's a country dude. Yeah.
I thought he was a race car driver. But we got
sounded like a country guy.
We're about to figure it out. Right. But if Travis Tritt is like, hey, I'm going to play with fucking Twisted, his fans are going to be like, well, fuck you.
Vans Warped Tour. Prime example.
You guys went on that?
Absolutely. The last run.
You were on the last one.
Cross country run. Yeah, absolutely. We were blessed by
it. Shouts out to Kevin
Lyman. Real talk. You know, like, it's cool to be a part of that and to see that. And that's a prime example, because like every day, even if it'd be 13, 15, 32, 100, you know, like these different little markets in these just back by you, wherever the fuck we would be.
They would put some people on these places. Like all the shows.
OG Juggalo in the house. We're like, man, woo, woo, motherfucker. You know, that's
right.
The
shit. Right, you had your people that live for you, man, that we live for. And they came and represented every fucking day.
That's what I meant when I said earlier about like you show up for the motherfuckers who come and rep for you.
Like literally, we left. They left.
Make no mistake, our intention is to have everybody hear us, and the more people that hear us, those people will hopefully become part of the family as well. Just like if we, whoever found us the first time around, I kind of think that's what it is a lot of times, is with our music and the way that it falls into this like shadowy fucking category of what the fuck is it kind of shit.
We're wearing face paint.
Right. But it's like when people find it, it's like a new experience. Something gravitates. It filled some part of you, some missing puzzle piece in you. You loved it. You gravitated to it. And then you looked for more. And then you find all this back catalog of all this fucking, you know, really fucking fruitful shit that's like more shit that's going to help out and shit like that. And it's just, it's cool, man. You rep for those people, and with the intentions to know that they found it, they should share it with everybody else. There was a time when it was like real, like, don't share this with nobody. Keep this real. Don't let nobody see this shit.
There was like a time when it felt like the fans really didn't want their favorite artists to get bigger. And now it feels like that has mostly gone away, where the fans are kind of rooting for you to go get that sponsor.
Absolutely. Well,
get
not
that
even
tour.
That. It's we more waged. That they're more accepting of your success. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, we can't control who likes us, just like we can't control who don't like us.
Right.
So the bigger the platform, the more the ears. And with the internet, bro, we're talking to everybody now. So who are we to be like, hey, don't listen to it like it. That doesn't make sense. So we just put it out there. Whoever gravitates to it and adheres to it, man, that's
true.
That's it. That's what it's about.
The game has changed, though, and that's the part. That's the part that when you speak about how it was before, it's like the game changed. So we just evolved with it. We didn't make it change, but we just kind of went with it as it went, because at one point we were waging a war against the mainstream, and we were so anti-mainstream, and it's somewhere between there and here as bookends. All that shit disintegrated. And people started becoming this new age of, hey, man, we've repped you for so long. We want you to be up in those special places, like the Hard Rock. I went in the Hard Rock. They should have, you know, a fucking, I don't know, a fucking pair of shoes from an Oxide in there, you know, or a page of his lyrics. Like,
Juggalo
fuck, yeah,
became
they
a pop culture
and,
thing.
And they mean that in their heart. Like, with, that shit with, like, is the everywhere true most now. Honesty. And they're like, that you should be in there. You know, we love you. People, more people should know what you, how you helped or what your music means to me. Right. You know what I mean? I hear motherfuckers here. I'm sure J-Lo and everybody hears that shit. You know what I mean? Mm. It's like, and it's, hopefully it's real. But to be that, whatever the fuck that is, when you bottle that shit or whatever the fuck, whatever that is, to be that for somebody, man, that's beautiful shit, man. Right. I don't care what the fuck, that's some beautiful shit. And to be able to continue to keep doing that and keep putting out product like that for more people, you know, where it's outlets like this and shit, you know what I mean? That we're more adapting, trying to become, to be, you know what I mean? To like kick it on that level because we've been refined for so long.
You'll
you
see,
know
you'll
mean?
Go in your comments and it'll you be know? Without even watching, motherfuckers just be like, wow, people, I don't like dudes in makeup.
Oh, like sissy face paint.
Why you talking
huh?
to them hoes? You know what I mean? It's crazy. Don't even give a fuck about the music. Don't give a fuck about the movement.
Don't know the lyrics. Don't know the backstory. Don't know who we rep. Don't know who we run with. Don't know shit.
Where we came
see
from, how we got to where we are.
Prejudge.
Right off the bat.
A lot of the best musicians have worn face paint. All those metal bands, dude. There's a lot of fucking
David Bowie's, Alice Cooper's. Come on, man. We could go
Kiss.
With, Shalimar.
Michael Jackson.
Right.
Shalimar
look like
Shalimar
hey,
got a cover. Yeah, right.
Hey,
come on.
Hey.
I'm
Climax
saying,
now.
Prince,
like,
Michael Jackson. Come on, you keep going.
It ain't like that. Like we don't wear lipstick. This our lips.
Yeah. My shit is
this how our lips look. His shit is chapped.
My shit is chapped.
My shit is full
I'm
of
working
luscious.
Out, man. I got a little cup of this shit here, man. That's the Molly one, right?
Yeah.
Is that seriously Molly water?
I believe it. When he put it down, I'm like, that's the one, though, right? It wasn't this one?
I don't know. I have my own water supply going here. I have a personal.
I drink them all.
I have like a guy who tastes everything I drink before I drink it.
I'm gonna be on everything.
Like the president.
I feel you, man.
But yeah. It is what it is. You know, we're never going to change who we are.
Absolutely.
We're never going to change what we represent.
Right.
We might alter the way that we represent in the fact of evolution. You either evolve or you die.
You have to, though.
Flat out, we can't be kicking the same shit we was kicking back in the day.
You would be doing a zine, right? Like some sort of magazine, right? Am I real? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Somebody was just trying to get me to write an article. I'm like, bro, I don't write articles. I'm a video guy.
I read articles.
Yeah, I do read articles. But I'm not like trying to like re-engage with my like
make sure your punctuation is correct.
I left that behind.
But they love your insight and they were like, if he would only translate it into words, it could be gold.
I don't even know what a semicolon does.
I can't go back in time.
I feel you. Like, I feel you.
Semicolon. What the
fuck
is
that? I don't know what
the
fuck is that. That sounds like something that you can't, that's like a stage 3 thing or something.
People
like,
also think we're disconnected from the industry. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're like, I think they're intimidated.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think a lot of people don't understand what we're about and they become intimidated. But we like a whole lot of people. Right. There's all kinds of motherfuckers.
We be liking a lot of people.
Yeah, man, it's
for real.
Crazy.
No, we're down with a lot of people. We're cool with a lot of people. I think that's, like I said, it's a weird time right now. You know what I mean? With music and just the way that everything is right now, it seems like everything is on the verge of getting ready to explode and shift really hard. You know what I mean?
Really?
Like at the end of the 90s or at the beginning of the 90s rather. You know what I mean? We were in that dark funk.
Yeah.
Of and I don't mean like the bim 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 bim, not that kind of funk, but like a funk like in just like
a lot of funk.
You know what I'm saying? And musically how things had flipped.
We fell
into dubstep and all kinds of, you know what I mean, and trap, and it's like music will find its way, and I feel like we're in this. A lot of people are just recycling a lot of shit right now for the sake of being in the zone and then doing what's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel like there was a couple of years there of like pretty a lot of excitement in rap, and then it feels like 2019 has kind of been cool so far. But we are only like 4 months in, but it's going to be interesting to see how the later quarters play out, because I feel like it's been a little bit dry so far this year.
You know, that's, I believe, because motherfuckers are getting fed.
Yeah.
You ain't as hungry, man. Come in like that.
It was cool.
You
we got to throw nothing. Our hat up into the game. You
now
know
you
what
got
mean?
Millions
we got
of dollars.
We throw our hat up into the game, and if people entertain the record, they might find something that they were looking for. Hopefully, if they were to look, you know, at us for that, You know what I mean? I'm sure they'd find a lot of shit on there. Mm. And I think that's the thing. It's like people nowadays are not really too receptive to giving shit a chance.
Yeah.
Because there's so much of shit out there to pick from. Back in the days, it was a very limited, like going in the VHS store, the horror section was like 10 movies. Now you go on Netflix and you fucking, you don't really watch shit. You fall asleep to the menu. And it's you legit fall asleep to the fucking, there's so much abundance of content. It's like, fuck,
you have access to so much that it's almost like everyone is, it sort of makes this like implicit agreed upon decision to just listen to the popular shit largely. It feels like that has become even more of a thing.
There's an absolute sway.
Not to mention people are getting their music from Spotify and Apple Music, and Spotify and Apple Music are constantly feeding you recommendations of stuff that other people like, which it can be very, very good, but at the same time, they're not recommending you shit that is outside of your comfort bubble.
It's pigeonholing you into that. Yeah,
it's turning you into a type so that you guys should be listening to this type of music because you fit into this demographic and you are this type. And you know, they base it on the stuff that you already listen to. If you listen to a lot of Twisted, I could sit here and tell you 10 other groups that they're going to tell you to listen to.
Absolutely.
But then you might not find out that you actually like some other shit that's completely different because the algorithm's not trying to give you that.
You take that information, you sell it to marketers, and they figure out what ads to run to these people. It's all about money.
And at the end of the day, a lot of really good music goes unheard.
Absolutely.
A lot of people with good intentions and great talent go unsung. And it's unfortunate.
It's a bunch of cats out until
it's the last note or the fat lady sing, we're going to keep riding it out and keeping it in the lane and keep doing what we do. And as long as we're blessed to do that, man, I believe with all my heart that we will keep putting out the fucking upper echelon of shit and always have that diversity. Just enough. So don't think what you know what's going to be. Everybody thinks they know what it is. That's the greatest part about Twisted.
That's the biggest misconception.
And then you actually listen to the shit and you're like, that's them? No, wait, that's them? Really? Damn, what kind of, this is weird, man. Give me the CD.
Right.
Let me hold it for a couple days. You know what I mean? Just let me soak it up a little bit. And then, you know, that's how it works, man.
Right.
It's like, it's.
Right,
it's,
don't like it because it's whack.
If you don't have that seal of approval or that, you know, that big ass push, In many cases, it's unfortunate, but that's the name of the game. You got to follow your dreams, live your passion, man. Put out your art and hope that motherfuckers respect it and represent it.
Right.
And we've had that. And it's like the level that we've gotten and we see, and even those people are now starting to tell us, like, we want a street team. More people need to know.
Mm.
And that type of dedication and that type of love, I believe, is the reason. One of many fingers on the hands of reasons of why we do what we do.
Because there's had to have been times where you guys were doubting whether you wanted to keep going forward for this.
Absolutely.
Has to have been times where you were either broke or just demotivated or whatever, right? Like, you've had to fight through that.
You don't know our struggle.
I'd say more about
being
broke.
Right.
You
because, I mean, like, it's not like you guys have been at this for an absurdly long period of time.
You
had to have seen every different peak and valley in terms of your emotional state and what you're going through, right?
Absolutely. You've seen your life and other people's lives unfold in front of you. You know what I mean? So not only do you have a perspective, you got like 8 of them and you got to see how many what happened when the other people rolled the dice and don't do that shit. You know what I mean? Or double up on that or don't ever do that. You know what I mean? It's like shit like that. So yeah, man, it definitely does.
Yep.
It plays a big factor
in. Pay attention though. And you'll be all right. You can have some longevity. You just got to pay attention.
I
believe that.
But so, okay, like you guys, this is just the juggalo world had been such a huge part of you guys' identity for so long. And then to actually just like take a stand, I don't know if people are even aware of, like, I watched an interview you guys did with fucking Rude Jude where you sort of outlined.
Rude Jude is the shit.
When you outlined leaving and everything. How much of a massive decision was that for you guys to step away from the label? Yeah,
that was huge, bro.
It was huge, but it was a culminating thing. It was destined to happen. It had to happen. It was going to happen, but it was just.
We knew that there was going to be people that are like, what the fuck? But we hoped at the end of the day that the relationship that we built with the people that loved us would understand that if Twisted is doing it, there's got to be a fucking good reason. They ain't doing it just to be assholes or just to throw a monkey wrench.
Right.
Like, and that's all we can hope for, man. And those who did.
There's got to be a way that if you're feeling somebody, if they're in your inner circle, I mean, some of my closest people that I love, man, I would never hold them back from their dreams. Mm. I'm a little cotton mouthy. But yeah, you know what I mean? It's like...
Molly Water will do it.
I get it.
Oh, you bastard! But yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, I would never hold them back for their dreams. So what I'm saying is...
Fucking we get people being upset. We were upset.
Even if him and I wanted to say, hey, man, we wanted to become a fucking clothing company. Mm. Whatever fucking crazy zany shit you want it to be, celebrate us. Endorse us, represent us, if it's really, you know, that's what it is. Instead of being, you know, like a roadblock in the situation or something like that. And try to you see what I mean? He's still rolling.
Who are you talking to me?
No, I was. Yeah.
I'm rolling this up.
No doubt. Hey, yeah. I'm drinking the Molly water, bro. It's all gravy. Your doobie in it. I'm Molly in it. Adam's losing it. We're good. We're good, baby.
No, for sure. But yeah, like, right. Wait. But okay. So let me just try to go for the jugular on this one. You spent so much time around ICP, and you saw this ridiculous cult develop around them. By the time that you guys decided to leave. Did you feel like they were still like people that you were comfortable
basing ridiculously sized? Not ridiculously. The cult, if you will call them, they're good people.
Oh, I'm not hating on the cult. By all means, respect to the cult.
I'm sorry. It must be the Molly water.
And all the bullshit, here's what got lost, is they fucking understood us leaving. There was no problem there.
Fair enough.
They bled you guys. Best wishes to you. Best wishes to you. Mm. So then all of a sudden, it became a fucking problem. And we're just like, dude, there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing. This is what we have to do. This isn't some spiteful thing that we're out to hurt anybody.
But you're allowed to have opinions in your life, and you're allowed to be a supportive of what you believe in. And if you don't support me in what I believe in, then don't stand against
but yeah,
me. Just do all be that like, bullshit. I know I respect
people
your views.
Forget that. But like, they were cool
you
with
you. You could say everyone
leaving.
Who eats meat's a fucking evil bastard because the, you know, whatever, right? And I could be like, well, hey, man, I'm a fucking carnivore. I love it, but I respect your views. But we'll hang out and have a beer.
The thing that was the straw that broke the camel's back, though, was the fact that they were basically, you felt, misrepresenting the FBI claim that Juggalos were a gang.
No,
was that the thing?
No. I mean, it was a part. There was a lot of shit.
It was a culmination of things over many a long years.
And we definitely didn't wake up like, you know what?
No,
we're fucking gone today.
No, we're leaving. It was, man. I'm just telling you, it's like at sometimes the things that draws people together can also draw them apart.
Yeah.
And
views change.
And
we were
the greatest
together
thing
for,
I can possibly say.
Think about this, man. There's somebody in your life that you probably grew up with for 15 years, and in that 15 years, a motherfucker changes.
Oh, hell yeah.
Their views change. The certain things change.
But you still love them.
Right. And
you know,
that's why they were like,
them.
Hey, we understand that. Go do you guys, man. More power to you. Anything you need. Mm. And then it just fucking fell apart.
It fell apart over time, and it is what it is. I mean,
it sucks.
You know,
people act like we're happy about it. Like, they're like, man, we're so upset. Why don't you guys, you know, do this or do that? Like, man, you guys don't understand what that did to us.
Yeah, man.
Like, it just rolled off our back. That fucked us up, man.
More layers
that
of a fucked up onion, man, for real, dog.
To know... We ain't going into it. But yeah, that shit fucked us up, bro.
Shit.
It ain't to be fucking celebrated. It ain't to be lauded.
Right.
It is something that happened, and we're not happy on everything, but we had to fucking do what we had to do,
but
bro.
But we made a promise to ourselves when we started doing this that nothing would stop us. Nothing would stop us. Meaning like straight from the gut.
Nobody.
Straight from the cut. We were in a group called Infamous Superstars Incorporated with Blaze Your Dead Homie. And that was one of the first cuts. Drop your homeboy. Now you're a duo. Whoa. Okay, cool. Make a sacrifice. Move it. Keep it pushing. Mm-hmm. How bad do you want it? Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Nothing will stop us. So even today, you know, even tomorrow, it's part of that no stop drive. It's like what we knew. we knew that we would do what we would do. Also, we, you know, obviously we promised our homie we gonna put him on, and instead of just blowing smoke up his ass like he told you earlier, we did. Then he became Blazer Dead Homie, who was like, you know, if you
and were, we brought when on you, anybody
when were,
killer.
When you were tearing us up and saying we would be the number two, he's gotta be like the fucking number three. He's an official Dark Lotus member. He's fucking, you know, OG Dark Lotus fucking down. It's like in that regard. So, I mean, it's like, you go hard for the people that you represent. You go hard for the people that live in your heart.
Right, motherfuckers act like we weren't dying for, like, we were the fucking motherfuckers, dude. We fronted that record label like nobody else did or has since that. That was our fucking blood, bro.
A lot of people just, you know, in the rap game, they start out as soldiers. To a certain extent, to a larger artist, but then a lot of people like are capable of dealing with that kind of role for a period of time, and then they eventually get fed up with it and they can't handle it. You guys stand out because you were like, you know, 18 or 20 years or however long that you guys seemed like really, really loyal, like
absolutely
soldiers
bro.
To the movement.
Like, fuck with that?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Catch me on the next round. Y'all fucking me. Y'all going deep as shit.
And that's
bro.
Why I said it's so much deeper than us leaving a fucking record label. You know what I mean? It's so much. We left Def Jam. We left record labels that were fucking 20 times the size of that. Had nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. It was about what we had created together over the course of fucking 16 or 17 years. Now is all just a squirt of piss in our face because you woke up like, hey, fuck them. And it's like, man, we can't live like that because we built this shit too. We died for this too.
Or
that's our blood and sweat and tears.
If you feel that something's going in one direction and you feel that it should be going in another direction, you do what's right for you. You know what I mean? It's I can't.
Throw a joint. I thought
what
is happening? You went like this to get to him, and he went like that.
He
like
did,
you were
like
going to toss
like,
it.
Fucking,
but we used to do that. We used to throw blunts across the room.
Yeah.
I ain't going to do you like that.
Oh, man.
My luck would go right into that clip. Like,
I don't know. Maybe he's really talented at it, and he's like
he
masterful.
Might. Shit, I've seen him catch drumsticks on the stage, man. That motherfucker's. Oh, yeah,
like we affect people's lives in a way that I guess, I don't know. It's very special, bro. It's not like this phony thing where they're like, yeah, you saved my life or whatever. Like, they fucking mean it. We mean so much to these family members that the divide is something that will never be understood. And we refuse to just go into the blood and guts of everything just so everybody can understand.
Some things are personal. You know what I mean? Some things you keep close with you, and some things are just, that's how it is. And in some regards, I think when people don't respect the situation of you know, just being like, look, this is what happened in that. And it's sometimes, I mean, it's like,
it's always got to be more than what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's like basically you can pretty much fucking Google search and see like what was said by whom and how much and what the fuck. And it was like, hey, man, knock it the fuck off, you know? And it persisted, and that's where it got, man. So it is what it is. You know what I mean? We won't have our hand forced.
We're not happy about it.
We believe in what we believe. We represent for the people we represent, and you know.
Do you feel like a lot of the fans, especially like the old time fans, that just like have that you know consider you guys to be such a big part of the label? Like, do you feel like it's been hard for them? Do you feel like you've lost fans because of it? Or
I feel we've lost fans.
I think they have too.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I believe that we both
go both ways. Sucks though, not to hang on them negative, but that sucks a lot because, you know, the fact that somebody would be that vested into something that they would be willing to just be like, I'm good. You know what I mean? It's like seriously.
They were like, it must have just been the address when it came to us.
That's a weird feeling, man.
You know
what I mean? That's why we've been being like, let the music speak for itself.
Turn on us on a dime without research, anything, without even hearing our side. Fuck them.
And that's
where I'm afraid of some
shit
like
that.
And
then when you look at it from that vantage point, you're like, well, then hold up. Did you really ever really love me? Or were you just on some, oh, you homies with the homie of the homies, so I'll buy you too. It's like, I don't want no fake shit.
Yeah.
If you with us and you ride with us, ride with us, rep with us. That's these people have us tattooed on their body, and this is a life and culture for them. So yeah, man, we go hard for them.
Raise their kids in this shit.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And just because somebody says we don't belong, we're just supposed to leave.
It's not gonna happen.
It ain't, man. We're going to represent for the Juggalos to the day that we die. And we're tired of them motherfuckers getting a bad rep and always in a bad light, because that's what mainstream America wants them to see. They want that movement to look like shit. They want these sitcoms and these comedy shows to go on there and clown
it's
on
why is it every time the Juggalos get coverage, it's always in a bad light or be the butt of a fucking joke?
Yeah. I feel and why is that celebrated? That are doing
and why is that
things?
Celebrated, though? That's real shit. Like, that's the fucking question. Why is it celebrated that Juggalos are always the butt of a fucking joke? It's like, oh, we were mentioned on Saturday Night Live again in a real kick you in the dick skit. Let's, you know, what the fuck is that?
Right.
We take offense to that because, mind you, we spent 15, 20 years talking about this is motherfucking, this is what we represent. Yeah. Fuck the mainstream. And then the mainstream flipped it on you, and now they're clowning you. And you're like, hey, that was great. That was cool. Like, what the fuck happened? It's a matter of opinion. Mm-hmm. And we feel that way, and other people felt a different way.
Right.
So it was only.
There's a lot of people that are like, oh, man, you guys in the mainstream. And we're like, what you don't understand is Juggalo has been mainstream for a good 10 years now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't see the word Twisted in The Office, or they ain't talk about Twisted on Saturday Night Live, or talk about Twisted on Workaholics or Always Sunny. None of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's Juggalo shit.
It's true.
It's like we're still pushing that agenda, man.
It goes to show you that there's still a pulse there.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're still out there. The Juggalos are still out there. Mm. And it's become something where it's more, it's cool to, maybe it's cool to be. It could be cool to be, like, we're not sure. You know what I mean? Like, it's there's some people that are standoffish, and then there's people who are like, day one Juggalo. Mm. And then you get the people who are Juggalo against Juggalo. You're a new Juggalo. And
right,
I'm
that shit was
an
answer on motherfucking Jeopardy.
You're a Fairweather Juggalo. Like,
it was on Jeopardy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Juggalo, that was an answer on Jeopardy.
That's
like,
crazy that Alex Trebek knows.
Right.
Alex Trebek was like, fucking yeah.
Alex Trebek was like,
crazy
whoop,
shit,
whoop.
Right.
And that's crazy, too. It was like, yeah, who are the fans of Insane Clown Posse? The Juggalos.
But what the people have done for us that made us who we are, we will never stop for them.
Absolutely.
Never. And we will never change. We will always evolve, but we will always be Twisted.
That's
always
real.
Man.
You gotta be, man. That's the only thing that we really have that we'll always have.
What does the grind look like for you guys these days? Are you guys on tour all the time? Do you record all the time?
We run a record label. Yeah. We got a con that we do
everything yourself now, huh?
Oh, yeah, man.
Here, we'll trade. Yeah. We'll trade back and forth so we don't talk over each other. You say one, I'll say one, and we'll keep going until we run out. Tell them what we got going on.
Right now, we have a record label called Magic Ninja Entertainment, and it has about 10 motherfuckers that just destroy microphones. I promise you that.
Tell me when you're tapping out.
Go ahead. That was one.
We have a comic book through Source Point Print Press. Pardon me. No, let me get my...
More Wally water.
I'm saying, man. We have a comic book called Haunted Hyons. The Darkness Rises is the new miniseries. It's a 1 of 4 issues that are coming out exclusively through Source Point Press. Dirk Manning and Maria and the creative team behind it. And it's awesome to have a comic book. And that's just the beginning. We're going to try to segue that into some sort of either an animated or action live movie in that bubble. I'm tapping out. Go.
We put our own Comic Con on, so a pop culture con. You know what I mean? Thousands of fucking people. Everybody come see the fresh guests, cool shit like
that. When is that? Yeah.
It's in February.
Holy shit.
In Michigan. We got to get you there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to go. That'd be
fucking
sick.
Seriously, yeah. No, you got, look, all the homies are repping it, man. That's what that is.
Astronomicon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Astronomicon. Okay. Fuck yeah, man. We're trying to. I'm tapping them sucker fucking off of yours. We're trying to throw our hat into that.
Can I throw an idea out there?
Fuck yeah.
Game of Thrones, but about Juggalos. Go.
Oh my god, whoa, dude! I'm such a Game of Thrones motherfucker.
Instantly mind blown. And I only know from the commercials. I'm waiting till it's all done, and then I'm gonna start it again on a tour.
Man,
you know
I'm
that,
such
right?
a huge
That's
Game of Thrones
plan.
Fan.
Oh, me too. I'm just fucking crazy. Oh, I'm so into it right now.
Straight up.
All
man.
I know is the
I was
ice
about
guys
to come here dressed
dragons.
Up like a Dothraki riding one of them horses, but I ain't know how.
They're all gone now.
Yes. Right.
No more Dothraki.
There was a couple that ran.
Sorry. Yeah.
And when I seen the Dothraki run, bro, I was like, oh, something ain't right.
Hey, and I just want to say, Night King, suck my dick. Arya took your ass out.
With
fuck
the quickness.
Damn, man.
We watched her come up.
Right to the nuts.
We watched her come up,
man.
We watched her go from like a 12-year-old to watching her basically hook up. Right. We saw her naked from the side.
Oh, I was terrified.
That was weird. That was, it felt like seeing like, I don't have a daughter.
We have to skip that season. Like, no, we have children. We have to skip that season. I don't want to see that.
It felt like if you had a daughter and then one day you walked in on her about to bone somebody and you were just like, God,
you evil bastard.
But also knowing that this is what life is that people grow the fuck up and start fucking.
I mean, early back then. Real talk, because if you go back and you look at your youth, young and doing dumb shit, yeah, man.
Well, at least she wasn't fucking her family member.
Hey. Well, Jesus Christ, listen.
That's true.
It turned into Jerry real quick.
Enough family fucking. But they said there's a bunch of spinoffs in the work, maybe, man. I'm hyped. I'm going to dress up like the White Walker until they do something. I'm
going to grow my hair out. You guys are White Walkers.
That's fucking dope.
We need that Photoshop.
That's for real, man.
Like, you guys and the Night King posted up. That's funny as fuck.
Yes, man. Dude. That sounds
well, you
got to
come to Astro, man. We got to get you there.
Yeah, man, for real.
So you guys got all the hot fucking cosplay chicks and shit?
Dude.
Yeah. No?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. There's cosplay contests.
We had to tell one of them put a shirt on because the thing was hanging. You know the thing. 2 inches above the thing.
It's a family event. So we market that as a family event for, like, you know, everybody, Junior Jane all the way to mom and pop. So when you got to check with her tits, like, and we were like, baby, you got to cover up. Very artistic.
It was body paint.
Yeah,
right. But I knew them eyeballs was nipples.
I didn't know the character, but she was committed.
Yeah. She looked awesome.
She was in it. She was in the zone. But
there was little kids walking around.
And did you go back again?
Oh, yeah, we're on tour right now.
Damn it.
You could come see us right now. There's, like, probably about 10 dates left. And it's awesome because usually when people bring out a record, they just go do like autographs and shit like that. And we're like, fuck it, we'll just do some shows, perform some of the new shit, and just see what happens. Go have some fun and push the record. And that shit has been crazy. It's been awesome.
I don't want to say the last one because I don't want to jinx shit.
Go ahead.
We're talking to two. Damn it! Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm high, man. You got me high, dog.
We're
talking to two or three different toy companies who I'm not allowed to say about potentially producing some sort of an action figure or vinyl of me and Paul.
Wow.
And I think that's cool because we collect toys, and obviously we got the comic book
deal.
Yeah,
we're huge collectors.
We're really into the whole fucking, you know, nerdy thing, man.
Funko Pops and Jordans, man. That's my whip right there. I collect the shoes out of that.
Pops, I mean, toys,
I don't know how old you guys' kids are, but that just seems like it would be so tight for them to have action figures of dad.
I think so, you know, too. For real.
They don't give a shit. You know what I mean?
You
keep it real.
Say that. You can't say that, man.
My daughter understands it more than anything now because she is older.
For real.
But, man, up until, like, you know, the 15s. And
he always says that shit. That shit's
your
so
dad.
Ice cold. He's like, my household is ice cold.
When I'm signing autographs,
people,
when we're eating dinner, they're like, what the fuck is that all about?
No, I'll give you that, though. No, I'll give you that. My kids get pissed.
That they get pissed, they don't understand.
No,
your
when
kids
they
think
did,
your fans
like
are
your
losers.
Dad.
No.
When, you like this guy?
That's my dad.
Right, like, what the fuck?
He's not famous.
Before,
he's my dad.
Before they really understood the dynamic of it, they would get upset. Why do those people keep saying stuff to dad? We're here at the fair trying to have fun. Well, who are those people? And it's like, oh, you don't understand. Those are dads. You know, they listen to his music and they appreciate it. I was, oh, okay, cool. And now they're just like,
there are a lot of the reasons
we're at
this fair.
Do you want me to
take
the picture so I can get back? You know, they know.
Yeah,
so it's cool, man.
It really is.
They understand, they respect, and they know. They appreciate. You know what I mean? As
it's
we
hard
do.
To have that.
We know
to
we
have
would.
A successful
we all
career,
know.
Successful
we all know
family.
We wouldn't have anything without them. So it's like absolutely take the time to take the photograph, stop and get the autograph. Unless I'm in a car going 60 mph's, I'm not gonna swing out the foot. Hold on, man, you signed your shirt. You know what I mean? It's like, oh man, you're a hoe. You didn't even sign my shirt. Like, man, back up, off. You know?
Yeah.
We always stop for the pictures.
You're like,
you
got to explain to your kids, like, listen, your dad would be a crackhead if it wasn't for these people.
Right.
I mean,
you know that bed you're sleeping in?
A crackhead or a crack dealer. Is that fair to say if you guys hadn't become rappers that you could
like
have gone one of those ways?
I learned at a young age. Whitney Houston told me crack is whack.
Really?
Yes.
She told me.
Not, wouldn't have been a crackhead. I don't think I have the nuts to be a crack dealer, so I'll just keep that 1 million. But we would have been in some sort of something. I know we would have applied ourselves. To be blatantly honest with you, we would have probably been in some sort of a comic card,
who knows?
Like novelty hobby shop kind of deal, like trying to put like What, like Newberry Comics? Are you hip?
I grew up right outside Boston. Word.
They're trying to become like a franchise that has different locations and grow. That's, I would feel that if we weren't doing this, that's what they. So then it would be like, oh, Dad and Uncle Paul are like Jay and Silent Bob. They're coming shopping, and they get high a lot. That's funny. They get high a lot and they're really chill.
And they stand outside the gas station.
I don't know, man. I think I'd have been balling. I would have went and played. Because I can ball.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about that right now. Okay. Because that cardio ain't what it once was. But, you know, we can sit there and shoot for a half hour or something.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. We got to put you up against Riff Raff. Because I played against Riff Raff and he beat my ass.
Riff Raff's in too good a shape. I can't fuck with you, Riff.
He played in college and shit. So it's pretty. He didn't do that great, but he did all right.
If I was in the shape I needed to be, it wouldn't matter.
Oh, okay.
I'm bombing on him.
I don't sports. I'm throwing it out now. So you don't be like, oh, he held out. Like, I don't sports. I called it. I don't sports. I don't, bro. I'm a spectator, not a hater. I'll watch you guys do it. I'll go.
You look like a catcher.
Because
you got the backwards hat and the
ball. Oh, he's a catcher. All right.
Come on. Fuck both of you for that. That was no fair.
We teamed up. I was just texting him like, yo, we go see some shit about him being a catcher.
Damn it. Yes,
hell yeah.
God damn it, man. That's hilarious. No shit.
No, I play sports. I play baseball and basketball. I played baseball since I was like 5, and I played basketball from 12, but I was just, I love basketball. That was my shit. But then after we started doing this, it's like, man, you can't be out there hooping. You break your ankle or something. We got cancel the tour. I'm fucking kill you.
For real.
Yeah.
So a lot of that extracurricular shit cut out.
Like putting up Christmas lights and mopping
and shit. Like getting on the roof and putting that shit up.
You use that shit for every excuse in the world, man. I can't make dinner. What if I hurt myself, man? I can't be getting on. I got to go on tour and shit.
That's why I always tell my girl that the Postmates delivery person is a woman. And I'm like, you got to go get it. I can't. It's a girl. She'll be intimidated. She might feel weird. You got to go get it.
Right.
I can't do that shit.
It all evens out at some point, though.
Oh, my God. That's great.
A man pays the price for being a man, and a woman pays the price for being a woman at some point. And that sucks.
Yeah. Well, they have their periods, and we have to go to Vietnam and kill people over there.
No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. Don't come at me.
I just hear right now, and both of them are talking, so that's just, he's like, for real, dude, it's just... He got the Molly water.
Yes. He got the Molly water.
Molly water has got me going crazy, too. Actually, it's just Starbucks, but still.
I ain't mad at you.
No, man. So, yeah. How are you guys feeling? What do we got to look at? Well, I guess usually my last question is, what do you guys have coming up? But we kind of already covered a large percentage of that.
Man, we'll right now, man. Hell yeah.
No doubt.
No, I'm fucking. I'm not gonna lie. I'm high as shit.
Nobody talks to us. When somebody talks to us, we're like, "Hey, so you know what I mean?" It's like, "Hey, where you going? Hold on."
Nobody talks.
Why are you turning the lights off?
It's a situation, man. Where it's like I said, it's when you're in the unsavory bunch. You know what I mean? It's like motherfuckers are a lot less receptive to reach out and chat. And like when people like you give it an opportunity, it gives a broader audience and some intel into who the fuck we are more than just some painted people. That, you know, look like, man. Mike Heath with the catcher hat, as you say, or fucking, he looks like fucking what? What is he, Billy Ripken over here with the Oriole motif? Come on, what do you want from me?
He looks like Cal Ripken got killed by a White Walker and came back.
Hell yeah.
Do you remember
I can play shortstop.
You're the living dead army version of Cal Ripken.
That's awesome. Shouts out to Cal Ripken.
Shouts out to Cal and the whole entire Ripken family.
Unless he's a racist. I don't want to, you know what I mean?
Was Cal Ripken racist? Don't ruin Cal Ripken for me.
We're not co-signing for Cal Ripken.
That age, that generation where you just don't know.
I don't want to hear Larry Bird say the N-word. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I don't want to know about that shit.
If he did, please don't leak the tape.
Right, don't let us know because that's the type of shit that's changing perceptions on shit.
Right.
You should have known when going into it. Just listen to it and, or enjoy it.
Wow. I don't know how we got there.
We did an interview with these one time, and I swear to God, about 30 minutes into it, the lady leaned over. We're talking about like one of our concerts, and she's like, can black people come?
It was the most uncomfortable shit and weird, and we were like,
are you fucking serious?
We were like, yeah, what? Yeah. Like,
something about us is giving off some kind of vibe.
It was just like,
do I look like an elitist? Do you
think what the
fuck? It was very, very strange.
That was weird as shit. But
it was very, very unsettling.
We represent everybody.
Yeah, I was like, trying. I was like, no, we love everybody like Jesus. Like, I don't know why you would. Why would you say that?
What the fuck?
I was kind of offended, but trying to keep it in the mode. I mean, you know, you don't want to pop off as some fucking, you know, morning talk lady who doesn't really know what she got herself into. You know,
I'm glad that she asked rather than just assuming that your concert was some sort of racist ceremony.
I mean, I guess so, but the fact that
it's looking for some kind of light.
She assumed is kind of weird.
That's right. Or yeah,
brought it up on the air.
All right, hold on. Let me take one more stab at her. There didn't have a better way of going about asking that particular question. She couldn't compartmentalize that motherfucker in a better Easter egg other than, so is that how
I started looking into my, like, what did I do?
That
would make that lady think
that. She might really just not have known. Like, she might have just thought it was a pretty legitimate question in that moment.
She truly didn't. No, she absolutely did not. Yeah. She had no idea who or what the fuck.
But she sat there for the whole interview. She heard the whole speech.
And at the end of it was like, damn, you boys are pretty cool. We coming back at you 6 o'clock with some more, you know, and it was like, work. That evolved very quickly, and it was just a fucking in the field action of how that shit can happen.
Yep.
People have fucking prejudged, go in with it, and you know.
Who is the most mainstream artist that you guys ever worked with in any capacity? Have any like weird ones? Like you just got a Ludacris verse one time?
Master P. Master P back in the day. We're talking like the No Limit is ruling everything, and everything's got a tank on it. And Master P, they
were just down to do anything. Like Juggalos, fuck it, let's give it a shot.
Well, it was no. Unfortunately,
we won't get into the real story. But
you asked a question, and I was giving you the answer. Yes, sir.
No, but man, it's more about the shit that we see. The people that we like, motherfuckers will come to the show, and within 30 minutes, they see what's going on, and they're like, paint my face.
They had
Scarface busting in our dressing room.
Fuck yeah.
Scarface painted his face.
He wanted us to paint his face. He was just like, dude, they gave me these sticks. Hook me up. And I'm like, look.
That's weird. We don't want you to go out weird face, so we're going to tell you what to do.
So we talked him through it because we didn't feel comfortable touching another man's face, let alone legendary Scarface. Yeah. We were just like, kind of marking out, but at the same time, just like...
You could say I touched face's face. That was...
Face with face.
There's a bar.
We missed it.
That's a bar.
But no, it was...
Painted face's face. Listening to Ace of Base.
Yes, no! Right. Yes!
See, we don't care rapper, about your race.
Of my whole crew, that dude got up and was like, oh, it's about to go. Matt Neff was
formulating. Y'all ready for that.
He was formulating. Come on. That's a whole other show.
A lot of people just see me and him. It's more than me and him. There's a crew of people around us, man, that we trust with our integrity. We trust with every fiber of our being.
People that see in us what other people see, and they're like, they feel the same way we do. Like, it should be bigger. It should be better. More people should know about this because look what it does. You know, like, he reads the emails that come through to people. I'm pointing to my manager, George. He reads emails that come in, and it's like, some of these things are so, like, heartfelt that they'll fucking hit you in the feels like Avengers 3. You know what I mean? It's like, and you're like, man, what the fuck? What do you say?
And he gonna cry in the car.
I fucking for real might. And I own that shit. That'll be me. Whatever, man. I'm sorry for crying in the car. No, but it's like it's a matter of like, you know, you could talk that shit and then just walk away from it and ignore it or address it and like try to provide some sort of solace or peace for these people that are in a predicament, and they reach out to somebody that they look up to or that they feel has a direct connection with. I feel your artwork. I love
stuff
what you do.
I
love your music. It speaks to my soul. I'm about to die. You know what I mean? And can I kick it? I know it say no make a wish shit, but can you spare 4 minutes?
Uh-huh.
And it's like,
no.
I mean, that's the cool tough guy thing to say. And it's like,
right.
And I gotta fucking work myself up into a zone and be like, yeah.
You go above and beyond, man.
Do it, man. Because it's like, if it was me, And it was the person that I wanted to do that, and they wouldn't. How lame. You know what I mean? Not that I should feel entitled to anything. There's none of that shit going on. Because
there's
like,
a fine line between entitlement and gratuity. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely. But the ideal of actually being like, yes, because if it was me, I would want someone to do that for me or for my loved one or something. Like, you have no idea. This is my aunt or my uncle, and they have like everything you ever put out, and they love you, and they have lyrics of yours tattooed. Man,
just the horror stories that people tell us of going to meet and greets. I'm like, oh my God, you paid for that?
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Christ. Did they punch you? You know what I mean?
Well, for standing in line forever. Oh, oh and God. Just dealing with the worst shit ever.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, did you ever go? So you're probably like, no, I went three more times. Like, I don't fucking understand that. Demand more from your entertainment.
Yes. Yes.
Demand more.
But I mean, it's like, yeah, but it's like some people, you know, write it off to, you know, maybe I do that sometimes, but it doesn't happen. We try to actually make it happen as much as possible. Obviously, we're not on a Taylor Swift level, so it's not like I got, you know, 18 filing cabinets worth of these, you know, letters or nothing like that, but when they do come down the pipeline, say
dresses.
Come on. You know what I mean? But like,
no,
but
it's
like,
true.
But it is true. And it's like, it's just, that's, I think that's something special to be able to provide that. That's all I'm trying to say.
Right. It's like one of those things, any day they'll take it away from us.
No, it's like one of them dogma shits. Like when the motherfucker didn't say God bless you and the angels were about to chop everybody's fucking heads off. It's a life decision. You had an opportunity to do someone a solid and you were like, nah, I'm too good. I'm about to roll this blunt.
Right.
I could roll the blunt while I'm talking. What's up, whoever? You know what I mean? It's like, work it into your day.
Right.
If you can bless somebody up with a little bit of something to get them through their shit, man, do that. Because you might need that shit someday. Crazy. And that shit comes around, man. You might need that shit someday, and hopefully someone will do the same for you.
When I see them young kids, man, they're like 12, 13 years old, come through the meet, greet, and I'm like, man, after the show, let's go break in some cars or something. You know, let's bond.
I'll be getting mad because I'll be like, man, don't be saying that shit to
let's
them.
Bond.
They laugh, and like sometimes it's like he does it just to see their like true just to life break reaction. Them out of there. Some of them like, are like, okay. And I'm like, motherfucker.
Bro, we understand that.
So
that.
Police on y'all.
It's so funny to just temperature check them and just see how down they are. You want to go rob a bank?
Yeah, right. And they're just like, right. They're like, oh,
let's go.
As soon as the ones are like, yeah, I'm down, I'm like, frisk these two.
Yeah, pull them to the side.
We don't want them in the show. They're deranged.
Right, right. I want to make sure they weren't over stealing shit from the merch.
We got some at-risk teens right here.
Yeah. Right, absolutely. Right. There's an 800 number on the back of the shirt.
The best is when you do that and the mom is with them. And it's like their mom in the background like, no, they won't be robbing a bank. And you're like, we're fucking playing.
Shut up, mom.
We pegged you as the getaway driver, right? You can afford the Cougar. You just can't drive it. Like,
I'm going to teach you kids how to hotwire today.
Here we go. The red.
But that's what people think.
Yeah.
That's what they think.
Yeah, is that goes to you that prejudge shit.
That's the message that we send is this debauchery, and we're so much deeper than that, man. Mm-hmm. So much deeper than anything, any conception could be had about Twisted. 100%.
Yes, sir.
If you've never fucked with us and you've just went off of some preconceived notion, you're fucking wrong.
And I would like to think that if you have been fucking with us since day one, you've seen so many new evolutions of us as we go forward into the you know, 19 and not fucking as far ever long out as we're blessed to ride. But you know what I mean? You'll see us evolve as we go. And it's going to happen. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. And it's awesome to see the people that were day one still going along. And
still riding.
Yeah, man.
It's
absolutely
crazy, man.
Gives you hope you could be like Rolling Stones. You could be 71 day and still holding it down.
Man, Paul McCartney's rocking shit at
the
8
deadheads,
years old.
Right? You know, like you got the fucking Deadheads.
Doing it.
Jerry's been dead for like 25 years and there's like cover bands. Crazy.
Sublime. Same
shit. Right. Same shit, man. For real. It's like just to live out.
Shouts out to Rome.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Shouts out to Rome and Sublime. They were dope at that show we did. Yeah, fuck yeah. But just, you know, just any opportunities like that, man.
Who you fuck with? Who you listening to these days?
Ooh, you know who I like from Detroit is these dudes, Drago and Bino.
Yeah.
No
I just interviewed them, and they're super fucking grimy street shit.
And that's the only way you'll get that shit. You gotta go down and be in them streets. You ain't finding that at motherfucking FYE.
Yeah, no, for
like,
real.
Like, that's
for
just
real.
How Detroit's always been like
sense,
that. Yeah. I swear to God, I'll listen, because Judah play a lot of it.
Uh-huh.
Judah, and as soon as it comes on, it has its own sound.
Yeah. And there's,
absolutely.
There's another dude, Bang Gang Lonnie from Detroit, too, that I'm super into. And I just recently had all of them in here, so I was just, like, listening to them a lot.
That's dope as fuck. Hell yeah.
There's a song called Detroit to Inglewood that I just keep watching on YouTube. I'll show you guys after this, but they're just, I don't know, it's just, like, super grimy Airbnb visual, but the fucking song is hard as fuck.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Fresh as fuck, and that's the same shit, like putting us up on new material. You know what I mean? Something we can push along to people too. That's fresh.
Definitely. Yep,
that's fresh. Unfortunately, I just trade you our material. I was like, I'm gonna put you up on a couple shits I'm listening to. Like,
do
for real.
It, yeah.
You ever hear that Highly Suspect? That shit is pimp.
Highly Suspect, you're into them?
Yes, sir, man.
Nice.
That's the shit, man.
I know the dude who signed them, who ironically is Leo Cronin's son. There you go.
Really? Blown.
Connectivity.
That's dope though, man. That's
Singer dude is like hung out here a bunch of times too, because he's like friends with my my friend, co-owner of the shop.
Okay, Alfredo, that's fucking fresh as hell. Yeah, no man, that's awesome.
That's dope, man.
Absolutely, man. They got it's really really talented.
Love what
dude.
You got going on, man.
I appreciate that, man.
Absolutely,
100%.
Yeah, dude, it was an honor to get to fucking chat you guys up. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people watching this video that were just like, dude, I've always known about Twisted, but I never fucking thought of listening to them talk for an hour and a half. That's just tough.
Awesome. I don't know. Yeah, you know
maybe,
what I mean?
I don't know. Maybe, I don't
but
know.
But this is real. You know, we didn't, it's not like we're, and then we would like to say to, like, this is just us.
Yeah.
You know, all these motherfuckers
over there. I mean, I
got
a little
nervous.
Weird when we brought the Molly water out. I'm not going to, right. You know, but I'm
Molly
over
water
it.
Will make things but weird.
I'm over it. I can't, we grew together. I
we're merely here
bullshit.
To kidnap your children.
I left my pussery in the dust. I kicked it its ass, man. We're good.
No, like man, that's it.
I needed to take one further step into the Juggalo Hive, you know, step by step.
Heck yeah, man.
Right?
Deeper and deeper.
Hey, there's a movie came out about that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
yep.
Yep. It is coming out.
I thought it was out.
Oh, shit. There you go.
Yeah, I think the chick from Orange is the New Black is in it or some shit.
Oh.
Wow.
Yep.
But, all right. Well, hey, I appreciate Twisted for coming through and
hey, man,
rocking with
you.
Us, man.
Thank
it was
you,
tight.
Man.
No Jumper. Coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Yeah. Appreciate you guys.
Hey, appreciate man. You, thank man. You. Thank you, brother.